Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
This is the Adam Carriker Show.
Position right of the quarterback, out of the shotgun, first and 20. Jailbreak screen in the air. It is tipped. It is intercepted by Carriker at the Missouri 21-yard line.
Live from the heart of Lincoln, America, eight-year NFL vet and All-American defensive lineman, Adam Carriker.
Shotgun snap to Everett. He's got the left arm going, and now he's got a whole lot of Adam Carriker who rips him down inside the 25-yard line.
On 93.7 The Ticket and theticketfm.com. Here is your host, Adam Carriker.
The police just pulled me over and said papers. I said scissors. I win. And drove off. But I think he wants a rematch because he's been chasing me for 45 minutes. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome in to the Adam Carriker Show here on 93.7 The Ticket. The show that gives you unique insight, unbridled honesty, and producer Jake and I have a whole lot of fun in the process. All right, you know what you're going to get. Grab your lunch. Come join us. You're going to hear Husker sports, college football, and sports in general. Loaded show today. Heinrich Harburg. Kind of flown under the radar a little bit throughout this offseason. Major talk last year, obviously. Being in that quarterback room, what can we do with him? How can we utilize him? He's just a football player. How do we get him on the field more? He's a guy who has the type of potential to play on Sundays, moving to that tight end position. I personally think he's going to flourish at the tight end position. Now, what exactly does that look like? Obviously, Luke Lindemeyer is a projected starter going into the season. Expect him to play well, do some things well. I almost feel like Harburg and Lindemeyer are very complementary of each other. And that's part of the reason why I think this is going to work. Hopefully, I was about to say so well, but hopefully well to so well to very well. But we'll see. We'll discuss that. Also, Emma Johnson. This is a guy who, since his freshman year, when he was fourth string going into the season, not one, not two, not three, but fourth string going into the season, then the last half of the season, he was our starting running back and played well. Then last year, did not start. There was a game or two where he didn't even touch the ball. I said, hey, I think he's our best running back. Why doesn't he at least get the ball sometimes if he doesn't at least start or play more often? Then Holgorsen comes in, bam, all of a sudden Emma Johnson takes off, his stats take off. He's the projected starter going into this upcoming football season. I believe he's going to shine. There is one concern that I mean, there's more than one, but one main concern. Anytime you're looking and projecting a football team, football player, whatever, there's always more than one thing to look at. There's one concern I have. I don't think I'm going to shock you with it, but I do think he's going to shine this year for multiple reasons. And I'm going to dive into that just a little bit, all right, throughout the course of the next 2 hours. Just a reminder, hour one of the Adam Carriker Show here on The Ticket is sponsored by our good friends at Hamilton Telecommunications, bringing you the latest in quality technology and communication services since 1901. Learn more about their residential and business services at HamiltonTel.com. That's HamiltonTel.com. All right, Jake, how was your weekend? Anything newsworthy happening? What's going on in the Bakoven household?
I don't know about too much newsworthy, but I had a good weekend. It was my mom's birthday, so we had a party over there. So that was a lot of fun. You'll notice I'm not wearing gold today. I did not win in the Cornhusker State games. I even had an old guy moment where I was getting back on defense and fell down for no apparent reason. But still had some fun. And Cornhusker State games, a lot of fun. So it was cool to get out there and play it.
I was going to get to the Cornhusker State games. Did you at least finish, like, did you make the championship game? I mean, what happened there? Are you LeBron or MJ? What's going on here?
No, it's it really makes me value the fact that we went and got the bronze last year, which obviously the goal is gold, so that's what we're kind of pushing for. But it is a two-day tournament. We did not make it to the second day. I'll just put it that way.
So you let your team down. Is that what I'm hearing?
I let the team down.
It happens. It happens. You know what you do? You learn. You watch the film. You grade yourself. You hit the weight room. You grind. You come back ready for next year. Are those your plans going into next year's Coronado State Games, or are you going to sit on the couch and make sure you're hydrated for an entire year instead?
Well, I'll hopefully get better. I was thinking about just coming in and saying no comment. But thinking, you know what? I better at least face the music. I can't just be celebrating when we're winning. I also have to acknowledge the loss.
No comment would have been great. I'm just here so I won't get fined. Jake, we're not going to fine you. Well, why am I here then? All right, we got a whole bunch of other things to talk about as well today. I don't know if you heard this, Jake, but the University of Minnesota students will pay a new $200 athletics fee this year, even if they never don a Gophers football helmet or attend a single game. The Twin Cities campus, for the first time, has added a $100 per semester fee to offset the substantial price tag for paying student athletes to play on the Gophers teams. Even so, the athletics budget is $8.75 million short, though University of Minnesota officials say they're hopeful they can close the gap. Now, there's more here. Like, the new fees are drawing ire from the student government leaders and come at the same time as a significant tuition increase of 6.5% for in-state undergraduates and 7.5% for out-of-state undergraduates this fall. What's your reaction to this? I could tell you'd not heard about this. What's your reaction to this? They are now basically taxing students. I'm going to use the word tax. That's what it feels like.
Yeah.
They're taxing students to raise more money to pay for athletes and athletics. What are your thoughts on that? What's your reaction to that?
Don't love it. I mean, obviously, as a sports fan, I could do that if I did go to the university. If they did that, I wouldn't be too upset. But there's plenty of people that aren't necessarily sports fans. Then the other thing is, you know, now you're kind of holding yourself accountable. Like, hey, I paid for this. Why aren't we getting any better? And that sort of thing. So it really falls into the fact that college costs are too high to begin with. And now you're kind of throwing in an additional one to what, support NIL for athletes. That's tough. That's tough for anybody going to the University of Minnesota. It also makes you, thankful that Nebraska's athletic department is not in the red and that it's doing well. And you don't have to go on these outside things. It's weird because I've seen Minnesota even have opportunities where you buy one, $10 pizza, take home pizza, get two tickets, so they've got to find some different ways to get people even in the building. And now you're just charging everybody. Tough look. PJ Fleck's going to have to face the music at Big Ten Media.
Ooh. You think DP will interview Mr. Ankles now? We'll ask him about the tuition or the taxes that the students now have to pay?
I wish, but I don't know if that'll make the difference.
Did you hear the story? So we were down at Blur for the College World Series, and DP was doing the show with me. I think Nick was doing it that particular day. Were you there that day it Nick? Was it you?
Well, I don't know. I was either there Nick. Or at the board, so I heard. I remember.
So you heard the story, though, about how PJ Fleck walked by our booth last year at Big Ten Media Days, stared right at us. Like, his eyes were begging to be interviewed. I'm not even making this up. Like, eyes begging to be interviewed. DP just stared back at him, chill, didn't say a word, refused to interview the head coach of Minnesota. And I asked DP about it that day, basically not a big fan. I'll make the long story very short. Not a big fan. We proceeded to, DP proceeded to point out that he wears dress shoes and with no socks and pants that are too short. So all you see is his ankles. We dubbed him Mr. Ankles and all that good stuff. I think you've got to interview him now. You've got to, just for this question alone, he's going to be asked when he goes up front on stage anyways. But it's interesting. The PJ, just because, it's easy to poke fun at PJ Fleck. I was going to dub it the PJ Fleck effect, but I don't know if it's directly his fault. But it's just fun to do these things and insinuate certain things when it comes to certain people because you just like to poke fun at certain people. Honestly, he's had success at Minnesota. Can't hate on that. Just signed an extension, a brand new contract. They clearly like him up there. I did quickly just Google. All right. Cost of attendance on average to go to the University of Minnesota. So tuition and fees, $18,000. Books and supplies, $1,000. Housing and food, $6,200. Transportation, $200. So about the same as we'll call it the college sports tax or whatever we want to call it. Personal miscellaneous, $2,000. Now, that's obviously going to vary from student to student. All right. Loan fee, $158. So it comes out an average, okay, of $1,824 if you are living off campus to go to the University of Minnesota, or a total of $28,184. Now, let me play devil's advocate a little bit. Now, it depends. If you're a resident, let me see here, residence hall or apartment, it goes up to $36,000, because obviously you're going to pay for the housing included there as well. So let me play devil's advocate here. I'm because I'm not personally a fan of forcing students to pay something in addition to what they're already paying. A lot of college students don't have a ton of money. Okay, you're taking out, like my sister took out loans, and she took a 30-year loan out. The interest does not get smaller as time goes on. I'll just put it that way. As a lot of people are in that position, and it's tough. When you think about $28,000, or if you're on campus, $36,656. Let me just throw this out there to play devil's advocate. If you've got however many thousands of students they have at Minnesota, it's $200 a year for a student. It's not a ton, but when you add that up per student, that can make a gargantuan contribution to the university, to the number one thing that's making money for the university. And you could argue it comes back to the students in the end because they have more money to do things at the university. Or am I just trying to play devil's advocate? You don't see where I'm not even saying, I actually am not a fan of this. I'm just saying, I always try to look at both sides of the coin. Does it make sense when I try to look at the other side of the coin? You're just like, nah, I don't buy into that at all. Where you at on this, Jake?
Well, I mean, again, if business is business, but you understand if you're operating in the red, you know, there can be, you know, that could be a deal there. But you also have to keep in mind these athletic departments aren't necessarily their goal. I mean, you can't run under the red, you know, for 15 years and still have a company, right? The goal is not always to make a whole lot of money in the athletic department, because then you're not going to get grants and funding from the university altogether from the state. So it's kind of interesting the way that you look at it, but clearly they're not in a good spot. I know they don't feel like this is probably a good look, just something that they have to do in the new age of college sports. I mean, I can see the devil advocate side of it. I can see why it's in play. And like you said, I mean, $200 a semester, I'm assuming, is, you know,
for the year.
Okay.
100 per semester.
All right. Well, that's good enough. You know, it's not a whole lot. And really, when you're talking about what I don't like is when you're talking about the numbers and you're like, well, it's either 36,000 or 36,200. Well, then you're like, well, then it doesn't really matter. You just throw it on there. But like you said, $200 could be a lot to a college student, at least enough to do something a little bit more, maybe eat a little bit better in those months.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
To me, it's interesting because this is something I could actually see gaining traction. I could actually see other universities, hey, that's a way we can make, and I don't know how much money, more money exactly they're going to get from this. I would imagine it's a pretty penny. It's a nice chunk of change. And they could be like, hey, that's a real easy, quick way. I don't think it's going to stop anybody from going to the university if you look at it from their perspective. Like you and me being big WWE fans, there's fans out there that complain about the WWE all the time, but you know what those fans do? They also still tune in. They can't complain if they don't tune in, but they're still going to tune in. They might say, oh, people might be unhappy. 5 years from now, it'll be accepted in the norm. And in the meantime, it probably won't turn anybody away. And from a business point of view, just speaking business point of view, because this is business. It's college athletics has always been business. It's just now more front and center than it's ever been and more obvious. And it's a little less, I don't want to say hidden, but discreet, or however you want to put it. From a business point of view, they're like, it's an easy way to make more money, to pay our athletes, to help improve our teams. And we really don't think we're going to lose anybody because of it, even though some people may not like it. And from a business point of view, I could actually see it gaining traction because everywhere we look, Nebraska, other universities, when people would bring up paying athletes for years, should we pay athletes? Should we pay college athletes? I don't think a lot of folks, including myself, to be honest with you, understood the ricochet effect that that would have. All the way down to now there's all of a sudden, we just kind of made this up, this college student $200 a year tax for University of Minnesota students. I don't think anyone foresaw that happening. So the chain of reaction, the butterfly effect, the ricochet effect that happens, you know, it's a little bit surprising, but it is part of doing business. You know, and to be clear, I do think student athletes should be paid. I'm not saying that they shouldn't or this is their fault or anything like that. This is just part of the business now that is college athletics. So a little bit more from this article. Riley Hetland and Ethan Fiegel, I sure hope I'm pronouncing that somewhat close. The president and vice president of the University of Minnesota's undergraduate student government sent a statement that, and I quote, "While we acknowledge the student athletes deserve fair compensation for the amazing work they do, Gopher Athletics already generates revenue from students through voluntary contributions in the form of tickets and merchandise sales. Students should not be forced to pay an additional fee on top of this," they said. All right, let's see here. Mark Coyle, the University of Minnesota's athletic director, said in an interview this week that the fee is not uncommon among other institutions and helps maintain athletic facilities used by the student body as well. All right, there is, it should be mentioned, Tennessee did this last year, which is similar to the what they're doing up at Minnesota. So Minnesota is not the first one to technically be doing this. And I do think this is something that's going to catch on. All right, but let's read on a little bit here. Because they did mention it helps pay for, you know, I don't know if you want to call it the rec center or the student where students go and play sports and work out and do things as well. All right, paying student athletes a full $20.5 million will make up 12% of the University of Minnesota's $174.2 million athletic budget for 2026. More than the cost of scholarships, maintaining facilities, or paying down debt. The nearly $9 million shortfall is after the new student fees are accounted for. They are expected to bring up $7 million. Mm. This is an increased revenue of $7 million. So he doesn't have an issue with student athletes being paid. The president here that spoke, that gave the quote, it's that it's not optional. So I have two questions. If it were optional, would you feel differently? Also, sometimes, like if you say something is worth $5, they're going to give you $5, but they're not going to give you $5 and one penny. But if you just say, hey, there's this thing, donate whatever you'd like, you'll get that person that gives $2, $3, $1, and then you'll get that person that donates $500. And all of a sudden, in the end, you could argue you've made more just by, hey, whatever you want to give. So, is it the mandatory versus optional part that you're not crazy about? And again, I do see other universities buying into this. I do see 5 years from now this being the norm and nobody's even going to think twice about it because right now it's new and it's different, so it's newsworthy. And do you think they'd actually make more if it wasn't like a mandatory $200 and they almost said, hey, donate, you know, if you're going to be a student or you're the parent of a student or whatever the case may be, donate towards the NIL fund for our athletics department. Do you actually think they'd get more money through voluntary donations?
They might. I mean, I think, but to get into that, you're kind of just going again toward your wealthy donors or people that are interested. If you're college, I would think more often than not, most people are looking at the bottom line thinking, all right, that's already 34,000 or whatever. Yep, so
36.
Yep. I don't know how much more you would be wanting to give. It's just ultimately, again, it's a blend of what this is, and it's kind of interesting to watch it all play out because, as we know, college sports, football specifically, is going into kind of more of the pro sports realm, and it's still on campus. And so we're going to have these kind of semi-pro athletes going to campus and going to college and all that sort of stuff like we have traditionally. It's not a big change, but it's how does it start to affect everything else? And that's where we are now, right, where the everyday college student is going to have to pay more. And they're going to have to think that they, you know, hopefully they think that they get their entertainment value. But if you think about it, just like as in $200, I wonder how much season tickets are. You know what I mean? Like you're almost kind of thinking, well, am I now in kind of the category of already paid? Shouldn't I be allowed to go watch these games then if I'm a student? So I don't know. It is fascinating to see how all of this kind of plays out again. And I've always kind of thought when you're kind of moving the pro, you know, the college sports into the professional model, that it is almost just kind of grandfathered in with the colleges because it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to be in that, you know, kind of all blended together. But there's so much money obviously involved that nobody's going to want to step away from it. So it's just kind of fascinating to see the idea and the shift in perception in going to college is now hopefully, or I shouldn't say hopefully, it's going to have to change into, okay, part of what I'm paying for is the sports entertainment of having these big time athletes at our school. But again, are you getting better or bigger athletes at Minnesota since the change? Is the team performing better? And, you know, in Minnesota specifically, I wouldn't say necessarily one way or the other. They've been a solid program under PJ Fleck, like we've said this whole time. But I don't know if you feel like you're getting that money back in return. I don't know. Different people have different thoughts on it. $200, you know, on a big chunk of change that's already going to cost you isn't going to be that much more. But that's where, I mean, I would think that NIL should be optional, right? If you're going to pay for it, if you're a student. And again, there's just so many people that go that could care less about sports. They're going to be really frustrated about it.
I think that's a fair point. You mentioned it earlier. You brought it up again. For someone like, let's say I didn't go to college and I didn't play a sport. Okay. I was done after high school and I went as a student. Like, I'm still a sports guy. I talk sports like a lot every week, as people know. Like, I'm still a sports guy. For me, I'd be like, cool, I'm doing my part to help the team. You know, I could see some people I know, maybe not a ton, being like, what more can I do? There's some people I know that, why do I have to contribute towards? Keep in mind, I'm said Neanderthal. Why do I have to contribute towards those Neanderthals? You know, some people would not be happy about it at all because they don't care about sports. Or maybe they like a particular sport, but they know the majority of money goes to football. And they're like, I'm not a football fan. Like, I'm not interested in this, you know? So I could see some people feeling that way about things. As to your point, like, I'm not a sports fan. So I am paying something towards something that I'm not that interested in. It's interesting because I'm actually kind of curious every time we turn around. And again, I'm not faulting anybody. I'm not faulting the ADs. I'm not faulting the universities, student athletes, and no problem with them getting paid. It is what has been created when we open the door of now we're going to pay student athletes. And now we're going to pay some of them more than NFL athletes. Okay. Well, that money doesn't just grow on trees, as the old saying goes. Like, where does that money come from? So I'm kind of curious to see what athletic directors, what universities, conferences do across the country to try to continue to generate more revenue in order to keep paying their athletes. Because if you think about it, athletes' contracts over time, they're going to continue to grow just like pro contracts. So if they're going to continue to grow and the amount's probably going to grow, like, how do you continue to keep up with that? I don't know how else to put it, the inflation of paying and paying over time and the increased cost that comes with paying athletes over time. Because you look at pro athletes' contracts now in the NFL versus, you know, 10 years ago, there's a difference versus 10 years before that, 20 years ago, there's an insane difference. So I'm just kind of curious to see what types of different ways, like we're selling beer in the stadium and things like that now. And, you know, there's all sorts of different ways to try to generate revenue and money. I'm curious to see what other ways, what other unique ways they'll come up with. This is not one that would have occurred to me. So to me, I'm kind of curious to see what other ways they might come up with to try to keep up with the cost of doing college sports business now.
Well, that, and I just, like you said, the $20 million doesn't grow on trees. You got to find a way to kind of get it. But I mean, I think that's going to be the general reaction is, you know, as a student, you're like, I'm paying and we're already paying athletes $20 million, you know, and part of that has to come from me. I mean, I think that sounds pretty frustrating in general. And then I just remember from going to the university, how many discussions are had between teachers because teachers get let go, certain facilities need to be upgraded. And I always hear it, you know, little kind of whispers from across the hall all the time. Well, they don't have any problem paying the football coach, you know? Mm-hmm. And so I think you're going to get kind of more of that, maybe more tension there. And then you got to think too, in this modern age, and this isn't this specifically, but we talk about players that maybe make more than their positional coaches or something, as you're talking about the rising money being made. So sometimes it's like, all right, well, you know, I make more than you or whatever. How much am I going to listen to you? how much does that affect the classroom? You know, when you have a guy that's making more than his teacher. I mean, I think there are a lot of dynamics at play, unintended consequences, as we call them, when you just kind of throw a rule out there and now everybody's got to go with it. And now there's kind of that, those adjustments to those unintended consequences. And this is, I think this is one of them.
That's an interesting thing you mentioned, because in the NFL, there's a lot of position players who make more than their position coaches. It's a little bit different in the aspect of, by the time you get to the NFL, you're typically in your early to mid 20s. You've had time to grow and mature at least a little bit. I'm not saying all us NFL players are mature. I'm 41 and I'm still not all that mature, if I'm being honest. I still don't know when I'm going to grow up, Jake. But when you're like coming out of high school, 17, 18, 19, I mean, that's a, we used to say, you know, go to college a boy, come out a man was the idea. That's an interesting dynamic at a much younger age and how that plays out and things of that nature. And the $20.5 million is the cap. But just remember, there's other ways that they're paying these athletes too, where there really is no cap outside of, you know, said revenue sharing and cap. So it'll be an interesting thing to continue to follow. The cost of doing college sports business is now a story in of itself. All right, ladies and gentlemen, don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Shopify is a global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business and sell more with less effort thanks to the Shopify magic, your AI-powered all-star. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/redcircle, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/redcircle now to grow your business no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/redcircle.